We're going to be looking at a passage from Mark chapter 4 this morning. Some of you, if you've ever heard me, you probably, this may come as a big surprise to you, but I love telling stories. I love being a storyteller. And that's why I love parables, because Jesus was a storyteller. That may be one of the few things he and I have in common. We're always trying to be more Christ-like, and that's where I started. I like telling stories. So this is a really cool parable. And this morning we're going to kind of approach this from a different direction than it's usually approached. This parable Jesus told to a large group of people, but specifically, I think, to his disciples. And so he says this. He says, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun had risen, it scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop." Now we're going to stop right there. Now if I ask you this morning, what is that parable about? Is it about the seed or is it about the sower? How many of you think that this parable is about the sower? Okay, two people. How many think it's about the seed? Four people. How many of you don't have an opinion? Four people. By the way, we have more people here than that. Okay, so it's about farming. The parable is really about thorns. That's what it's really about, thorns. One of the things that's really cool about the parables is that a lot of times how you interpret them depending on kind of your background and who you are. Normally, when people preach this story, they usually talk about the soil. This is usually, hey, we're going to talk about the different types of soil. I don't want to do that this morning. I want to talk about the sower, because I think this parable really is about the sower. And this is one of those stories that I think a lot of times we get so caught up in the second part of the parable and all the soils that we kind of miss really what Jesus is talking about. How many of you have ever tried something, gotten frustrated with your lack of success, and quit? Now, the truth is, most of us in here have probably done that. Some of us, maybe we've done that with a diet. Some of us have maybe done that with a hobby. I don't play as often as I used to, but I used to play golf. And I learned very early that the object of golf was not to play well. The object of golf is to have fun. Because if I have to play well to have fun, I wasted some good money on some golf clubs. Because I'm an awful golfer. I'm awful. And so I learned that the only way for me to have a good time was to accept my awfulness and just go out there and hit the ball. And if it lands in somebody else's fairway, wave at them when you walk out there. And try not to get hit by one of their golf balls. But I learned it's not, and I'm competitive by nature, but I'm not real competitive when it comes to golf because I know I'm awful. And so that's kind of the thing. But most of the time when we engage in something and we do not have much success, our instinct is to just quit. Our instinct is to just quit. Now, when you hear the part of the parable that we've done so far, and we didn't read verse 8 yet, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But if you read this parable, this guy goes out, the sower went out to sow, and it says as he's throwing out his seed, okay, as he's throwing this seed out, he says, some fell by the road and the birds ate it. Some fell on the rocky ground, sprang up quick, and then died when the sun came out. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns choked them, and they withered away. If you are engaged in some sort of activity, and that is the success you have, what would you be inclined to do? You'd be inclined to quit. You would be inclined to quit. And so one of the things that to me is really interesting about this parable is that as Jesus is telling this parable, and it's funny because later on in Mark chapter 4, his disciples come in and go, hey, what was that parable about that you told all those people? But this is what is really fascinating about the parable. I think in a lot of respects, this parable is not so much about the soil, and it's really more about the sower, because here's the thing. We are called as Christians to be sowers. That's what we're called to do. We're called to go out and share the gospel and share the good news and just kind of share it and let it fall where it falls, right? We're supposed to go out and share the good news. What happens to us frequently is that because we do that and we do not have the success that we wish we had, you know what we stop doing? We stop sowing. We stop sowing because we don't have a lot of success. So, you know, and you'll hear things like, well, you know, I invited 10 people to church last year and not one of them came. And 9 times out of 10, if somebody does that, what happens the next year? They don't ask 10 people. They don't ask 10 people because they get frustrated with the lack of success, because that's kind of in our nature. When we engage in something that is not overly successful, we don't like doing it. I have to tell this, and I hope my son's in church in Tennessee and not watching this morning. When Caleb was little, he started playing T-ball. And T-ball really wasn't T-ball. T-ball, they didn't put a ball in the tee. Really what they do is they did this slow pitch thing where the coach would get out there and just kind of toss it. And I can tell you that Caleb was an exceptional hitter of the toss. And he played that kind of ball for a year. And I think, because I'm a dad, because this is what we do, he batted somewhere around 690. Because as a father, you keep up with that kind of stuff. And you remember it forever because that's what dads do. Okay. He was exceptional as a hitter. And then he graduated to fast pitch. And he didn't hit as good. He played fast pitch ball for one fall. One. In the summer, when it came time for the summer league, he goes, I'm out. I'm not playing. I said, what do you mean you're not playing? He goes, I can't do it. Don't want to do it. I said, why not? He said, I just don't want to do it. I said, is it because you didn't hit well? He goes, yes. And then he looks at me and he said, Dad, do you know that a 300 batting average is good in baseball? And I went, yeah. He goes, Dad, I can't play a game where if I'm only successful 30% of the time, people think I did a good job. He couldn't handle it. That kid, he would get so mad when he got out. If he got out 7 times out of 10, he was ready for therapy. He couldn't handle, and you couldn't tell him, no, Caleb, that's good. Batting 300 is good. He didn't want to hear it. If the failure rate is 70%, he wasn't interested. And that was just kind of how he was. And I, by the way, I totally got it. And I never batted 300 in my life, I don't think. I understand that. When we are not successful, we tend to get frustrated and we quit. So you listen to this parable of the sower, and Jesus says, hey, look, this guy goes out and he's sowing seed and he's throwing it around. And guess what happened? The birds ate some of it, and the thorns choked some of it, and the sun killed some of it. And then we get to verse 8. It says, other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. And he was saying, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear. Okay. So here's this parable. There's this sower that goes out, and he's throwing seed, and it's not very successful. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you, on the day Jesus was crucified, would quantify him as a success? Would anybody call him successful on the day he was crucified? Now, keep in mind, now you can't go, oh, but I know how the story ends. You've got to take this from the standpoint. You're standing there and you're looking at him hanging on a cross. You're Peter, you're John, maybe you're his mother. You're one of those people. And what was Jesus supposed to do? He was supposed to be the Messiah. He was supposed to usher in this new era. He was supposed to free us from the Romans. He's supposed to do all these things. And he's hanging on a cross. And if you're standing there and you're looking at him, what do you see? You see failure, right? If we take, and again, it's hard to come up with a real accurate number, but if you look at Jesus' ministry and the number of people who continued to follow him the whole time versus the number of people who followed him for a time and turned away. Remember, he fed the 5,000. Remember, he fed the 4,000. Remember the Sermon on the Mount and all the people that were there. And he's got all these followers, right? And then on the day of his crucifixion, who was there? Who do we know was there? We know John was there. His mom was there. And Mary Magdalene. The rest of the disciples weren't there. They had scattered. Peter had denied him three times. That, you know, all those people, all those followers, all those believers, what happened to them? They were gone. So here's what Jesus has on the day of his crucifixion. He's got three people who have come to witness his death. The rest have scattered. His closest friend has denied knowing him three times. So you think about this parable and what Jesus is telling these disciples. And here's a message I want everybody, whether you're in the room or listening online, I want everybody to hear this really well. The parable of the sower is about failure and about the responsibility of the sower to continue sowing seeds even when it doesn't seem to be producing. Because that's what this parable is about. The sower's out there and he's throwing seeds, man. He's throwing them out there. And you know what? The majority of these seeds, even if you assume an equal share here, 75% of the seeds that he sows are either eaten or die. So even if you take this parable to be four equal parts of the seed, only 25% of it, the succeed actually grows. Only 25% actually produces anything. The truth is that as we look at this parable, it tells us a couple of important things. The first thing it tells us is that the job of the sower is to sow, and the seed, we don't really have a lot of control over that. How many of you have ever wanted to force somebody to come to church? You just wanted to grab them by the hair of the head, or if they're in my condition, maybe by the earlobe, and drag them to church. And we even have an old saying for that, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Can't make him drink. I would say that everybody in this room today and everybody watching online probably knows somebody you wish you could make them believe. You wish you could make them accept the Lord the way you have. You wish they had the faith you had. You wish they weren't such a doubter. You wish that life hadn't beaten them down and they had turned their back on Christ. You wish you could make them change, but you can't. You can't make people believe. And because of that, and because we live in a world that's like it is, the scriptures have told us that we're going to go out and we're going to sow seeds. That's our job. We're seed sowers. And you know what? We don't have a lot of control over what happens to the seed after we throw it out there, right? We can sow the seed, but we can't make it grow. There's a finite amount of things that we can control. And so as the sowers, and this sower, if you notice, it doesn't say anything about the sower about doing anything else, right? All he does is he goes out and he throws the seed out. So the two main things we get out of this parable is, number one, we have a responsibility to sow seed. That's our job. We're the sowers. We go out and we sow the seed. We tell people about Christ. We live a Christian life. We show Christ in our example, and we put it out there. The second thing is, we don't have a lot of control sometimes, most of the time, over how that seed does once we sow it. Now, if you're thinking, oh, Stuart, I don't know. I'm not sure about this. Well, we're going to look at another passage. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 9. Paul is dealing with an issue in Corinth where people have divided into factions. It's kind of funny because this sounds kind of like the modern church in some ways. Where we have feuding congregations and feuding denominations. This is what was going on in Corinth. Paul says, what's happening is some people have divided into a faction of Apollos, and some have divided into a faction of Paul. And in an earlier chapter, he mentions Peter, Cephas, and Jesus. But in this particular text, he's just talking about himself and Apollos. He says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? We're servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one of us. So me and Apollos are out there. We're just doing the work. We're sowing the seeds, guys. That's all we're doing. We're just seed sowers. That's what we are. As the Lord has given us opportunity to do that. Paul says, I planted, but Apollos watered. But who caused the growth? God calls the growth. He said, so as Paul is talking about this division in the church, he says, look at you guys. You're picking sides over who's the most important. He said, here's the thing. I sowed the seed. If I don't sow the seed, what is Apollos watering? He's watering nothing. He comes and waters nothing. Nothing grows. If you water nothing, nothing grows. But he says, if I sow the seed and Apollos doesn't water, what happens to the seeds? They probably die with no water. So he says, we both played a role. Why does it matter what the role is? Why are you worried about that? He goes, look, I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. It took me years in the ministry to figure this out. That I wasn't responsible for everybody. It took me years to figure that out. And I used to take it personally when somebody would leave the church, or I would take it personally when somebody rejected the message, and I was like, man, what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? And it was all right here in front of my face in the Bible for years, and it took me forever to figure it out. You know what I am? I'm a sower. Just like you're supposed to be. We're out there putting the seed out there. And guess what I don't have any control over? I don't have any control over whether or not the horse drinks or not. I don't. I wish I did, right? Because if we all had control, what would we do? We'd save everybody, right? We'd save everybody if we had control over it. We'd save them all. We'd save everybody. Paul says, look, guys, listen, in Corinth, I want you to listen. Get this. I planted, Apollos watered, but God's the one causing the growth. So then neither the one who plants or the one who waters is anything, but it's God who's causing the growth. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one. He says, we're the same one. So he says, Apollos and Paul, you know what we are? We're the same thing. We're all the same. We're all the same. Now, what does he mean by that? He says, now he who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, I want you to notice this. This is fantastic. Each one will receive his own reward according to what? His labor. Notice what word is not used there. Success. He said, your job is to go out and plant, guys. That's your job. You go out and you sow the seed. That's all you can do. You go out and sow the seed. We have become so fixated on success. And I'm in no position to judge anybody but me. I'm not in any position to judge any other congregation or any other church or any other minister. I can just judge myself. So when we talk about this and say, okay, look, here's what happens. We're going out and we're sowing the seeds and we're nothing. We're just the sowers. It's not about us. And it's not about our success. And I think sometimes we've become so proud by our successes and so beaten down by our failures that we have totally missed the point of this parable, which is you're going to have success and failure. Some people sow in fields that are really, really ripe. And when they throw that seed out, man, it seems like everything grows. Have you ever known anybody, it seemed like everything they touched just turned to gold? Just like everything they did seemed to go perfect, and you couldn't stand them. We were talking about it this morning. I'm going to confess, this morning I said I hate Tom Brady. And one of our faithful, loving congregation members looked at me and said, Stuart Woodley, it is not right to hate. And I said, okay, I dislike Tom Brady strongly. And then we prayed. Well, now, here's why I don't like Tom Brady. Because Tom Brady's been to Super Bowl 10 times, and nobody should go that many times. Okay? You should just retire and let somebody else go. Okay? You've made your money. You got your rings. Just go away and let somebody else go. And am I a little bitter because my boy Philip Rivers never got to a Super Bowl mainly because of Tom Brady? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. We look at some people and it seems like they just have success and everything they touch turns to gold and nothing goes wrong for them, right? Even when something goes wrong, it turns out to go right. And then there are other people, it seems like no matter what you do, it just always falls apart. It's like Pigpen in Disney. In Peanuts. There's always this cloud following you, right? No matter what you do, there's just what's the character's got the rain cloud over their head, just kind of like Charlie Brown. Everything goes wrong. Nothing ever goes right. I think sometimes that we forget that God, you know, God gives some people seed to sow in a place that's really fertile, and some of us are called to sow in places where the soil is rocky and not as much grows. And that's okay. Because somebody's got to sow there. Somebody's got to sow there. And so as Paul is addressing this with the Corinthians, he says, look, guys, you're getting it all wrong. It's not about Cephas, and it's not about me, and it's not about Apollos. It's not about any of us. We're just guys throwing seed out. That's all we're doing, man. We're just throwing seed out. We're sowing. That's all we're doing. And who sowed the seed doesn't matter. You're saying, hey, Paul sowed the seed. Apollos sowed the seed. Peter sowed the seed. It doesn't matter who sowed it. What matters is it's growing. And it's none of us that's causing it to grow. It's coming from the Lord. He's causing the growth. I think we forget sometimes the role that he plays in the growth. And so Paul is addressing this, and he's trying to make sure that they understand that guys, it's not a competition. Our job as Christians is to go out into our community, sow seed, throw it out there. And you know what? If you go out there and you sow seed, some of it is going to fall by the roadside and the birds are going to come and eat it and nothing's ever going to happen to it. And you go out and sow seed and some of it is going to look like it's starting to grow. You think, oh man, this is great. It's really happening. And then the sun comes out and it dies because it never really got good root in. Some of it is going to start to grow and then the people around them are going to choke them to death and just choke that faith right out of them. But we're supposed to keep sowing. Because we're not the ones who are getting the harvest anyway. It's not about us. Now, I don't usually use a lot of scripture. A lot of times I'll just use one passage or maybe two. This morning, we have a bonus verse. We have a third verse. This is kind of a proof text for what we're talking about. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. This is the great chapter of church growth, right? This is it. This is the church in Jerusalem. We're going to pick up in Acts 2:43. It said, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. So the apostles are out there, they're doing miracles and wonders, and everybody's just amazed. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, each other as anyone might have need. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being in a church where you were in need and one of your friends said, hey, you know what? Look, I got an extra car. I'm going to go sell it because I don't need it. And I'm going to give you the money because I know you're struggling right now with the Rona. So I'm going to sell this extra car. And I'm going to give you the money. Can you imagine being in a church that was like that? Where people were just coming up to you and going, hey, look, I had some extra stuff. I sold it. Here's the money because I know you guys are struggling right now. Can you imagine that? How amazing that would be. Day by day, they were continuing with one mind in the temple. They weren't arguing and fighting all the time. I mean, they were all together in one mind. They were unified in their relationship with Christ. Nothing else mattered. And they were breaking bread from house to house. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart. They didn't even have to pretend to like each other. They really did. It was sincere. And then verse 47 says this, praising God and having favor with all the people. So we just go through that long list of amazing things that are happening, right? And then listen to this last line of chapter 2 of Acts. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now, did you notice? It doesn't say the apostles were adding to their number daily. It doesn't say the church was adding to their number daily. It doesn't give any specific individual who's adding to their number daily. Who does it say? The Lord was. The Lord was. With all those amazing things that were happening, Luke, as he writes this memoir to Theophilus in Rome, as he's writing this down, as he's recalling what was happening in Acts chapter 2, he says, man, all these great things were going on. People were loving each other. They were taking their meals together. It was amazing, but it was God that was adding to their number daily. God was causing the growth. Yeah, the people were doing the right things, and yes, the atmosphere was there, the soil was good, and there was a lot of good circumstances there, but ultimately, even in Acts 2, it was the Lord who was causing the growth. And so we look at this parable, and if we can we go back to Mark and the second passage in Mark chapter 4. Yeah. Can we go down to verse 8? Is that it? Okay, there you go. So you look at how this passage ends when it says, other seeds fell into the good soil, and they grew up and increased, and they yielded a crop. Now, here's what's really cool. If you go back and you and I actually saw this in a couple of commentaries, they said, in that day, if you had a tenfold production from a crop, that was considered a fantastic yield. If you had tenfold. As Jesus tells the parable, he says that as the crops grew up and increased, they yielded a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's pretty significant. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. Jesus says, guys, I want you to get this. I want you to listen. And to his disciples, he's sending a message. He says, guys, you're going to go out into the world, and they're going to hate you. They're going to reject you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to beat you. And that's going to happen to these guys. It's going to happen later in Acts. It's going to happen as they go throughout their missionary journeys. In fact, every one of the guys that hears this parable that Jesus shares, every one of those guys dies for his faith except John. And John was exiled for years by himself on an island. And to those guys, Jesus wanted them to understand, guys, your job is to go out and sow. And some places you go, it's going to be rocky ground. And some of the seeds you throw is going to fall by the road, and it's going to be eaten by the birds. And some of the seeds going to start to grow, and then the sun's going to kill it. The thorns are going to choke it. Guys, you're going to have failure. You're going to have a lot of failure. But that's not the point. The point is never the failures. The point is always the success. And the success that you have isn't even really yours. It's God's. And so our job is just to go out and sow the seed. And we don't like that because one of the things I remember sitting in a youth ministry class in college, and our professor, I'll never forget this, our professor looked at us one day and said, here's one of the hardest things you're going to understand about youth ministry, is that a lot of times the seed you plant, you'll never see it grow. You'll go into a church and you'll work with some young kids, and then maybe you'll move and you'll go somewhere else, and you'll never really know the impact you had on those kids. I tell people all the time, one of the hardest things about Junior Week is that we do a week of camp every summer, and we'll have some baptisms, but a lot of kids go home and get baptized. We never know about. A lot of kids get baptized at a week of camp. Maybe the next summer we don't know about. But the fact is that maybe a seed was planted or watered during our week. And we don't know. We don't know. And guess what? That's okay. That's okay. You may be the sower. You may be the waterer. It doesn't matter. Your job is to go out and sow. Our job isn't to worry about the production. And I think sometimes we get all caught up in the success and failure rates, and we obsess about it, and we worry about it, and we stress about it, and somewhere in there, Jesus is saying, guys, look, failure's part of the job. That's part of the job. You go out and sow. You just go out and sow. Just throw the seeds out, man. Just go out in the community and throw the seeds out. You let me worry about the growth. You let me worry about sending somebody to water. You let me worry about that. You got a job to do. You just do your job. Just go out there and sow the seed, man. Just go out there and sow it. Be good people. Show Christ in how you act, in the way you conduct yourself. Share the gospel when you have opportunity. Just go out there and put the seeds out there. And yeah, a lot of it won't take hold. Scripture tells us that the narrow is the path to the kingdom of heaven. We know that. As the praise team comes to lead us in our communion hymn this morning, I want to remind you of something. As Jesus hung on that cross, he didn't look super successful. To the naked eye, he didn't look real successful. As he hung there, it looked like, man, all his followers are gone. He's going to die on this cross, and everything he's done's for nothing. But you know what? He is incredibly successful. He was incredibly successful. You have no idea the impact you may be having on people just by being a good Christian friend to them. You may never see the impact you have. That's okay. Doesn't mean you're not having one. You may not see the seeds you plant grow. Some of them may grow after you've gone somewhere else. You may never see the impact you've had. But here's the thing. I can tell you for certain. No seed grows that isn't planted. And when we get frustrated and bitter because we don't feel like we're being successful, and we feel like, well, you know what, I've been sharing the gospel with people and it's not making a difference, it's not mattering, it's not doing anything, and we say, you know what, I'm not going to do it anymore, that's when we become unsuccessful, when we stop sowing the seed that Christ gave us to sow. So my challenge to you this morning is to not get frustrated with what appears to be a lack of success. Don't get beat down by what you consider to be failure. But just remember the parable of the sower. We go out and we throw the seed. That's our job. We throw the seed. And it grows where it grows. But the success is the Lord's. And that's why we sow the seed.